Thank you, Matthew and Mel. Do have that passage open, but you notice that I've printed off a little cream sheet which has got the scriptures on it, kind of split up so that you can see easily. On one side, we've not put the reference, but it's Luke 1, 1 to 4 and Acts 1, 1 to 2. And on the other side is Luke 24, the end of Luke and the beginning of Acts, verses 3 to 8. And we'll look at those together this morning. Great to see you. Welcome. Lovely to have you with us. Shall we pray as we look together at God's word? Lord God, we thank you so much that we can take time out of the week to gather with your people, this community of faith, and we gather around your word, and we pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd speak to us through it and encourage us as we begin a new series today, and we look ahead to all you've got in store for us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in 1940, two brothers, Morris and Richard, set up a restaurant. They were living in California. They had 25 items on the menu when they began, and business did well. Business did so well, they opened two more branches in the local area. Well, travel forward to 1954. A friend of theirs was an American businessman, and he said, look, guys, this is a great business. You want to franchise this across the whole of the states. But they were skeptical. They thought it would never work. Their food was designed for California, where the sun shone. How would it ever succeed in places where it was gloomy and colder and rainier? And they were worried about risk to their present portfolio of work. They really didn't want to know much about developing it. Funnily enough, they just renamed their company McDonald's. But can you imagine how they would feel if they traveled through time to today and see what happened to their business, fast food McDonald's? It has 36,000 branches around the world in over 100 countries. There are approximately 120,000 employed in this country. I was one of them for 5 days. I wasn't great with the Big Macs. But actually, over 1 million people are employed by McDonald's around the world today. Wherever you go in the world, you'll find a McDonald's. But what do you think Morris and Richard McDonald would think if they came and traveled now and saw that growth? Be kind of blown away, wouldn't they? You know, the golden arches, wherever you go, across Europe and America and the developing world, it's just everywhere. Amazing. Who would have believed it? The potential of a fast food burger restaurant in California with three branches growing that big around the world over a short period of time. It is the largest fast food, fastest growing restaurant in the world. Wow. Well done, Morris and Richard and your buddy, Ray, for that vision. So imagine the scene. It's not a meeting between the McDonald brothers and Ray Kroc. It is actually a meeting between Jesus and the apostles. There they are. Jesus is about to return to heaven to be with his Father, sit at the right-hand side of God, about to send the Spirit upon earth. And he's got his disciples together, the apostles together. It's the same incident recorded at the end of Luke as it is at the beginning of Acts. There they all are. And he's got a vision to set before them. A vision to set before them. About the task before them, these apostles. And it's a vision for growth and development and movement. And yet, the disciples have such a narrow view of what God's kingdom is. Have you seen that? A look at Acts 1, verse 6. There they all are. They're listening into the team talk from Jesus. And they gather around him and they ask him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Israel. Bit kind of myopic, isn't it? It's kind of small. Just Israel. Just like the McDonald brothers were focused on one small area, they knew. So the disciples were thinking so small about the scope of the kingdom of God. Just Israel. But Jesus lifts their eyes to the scope of God's plan for his people and his world and the message of the gospel. He says in Acts 1 verse 8 that you're going to be my witnesses, guys, not just in Israel and Jerusalem and Judea, but to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's not local, it's global, for all people everywhere in the world. And that's the vision and that's the task that Jesus gives his disciples at the end of Luke and the start of Acts. I'm sending you to be my apostles, to be my witnesses, to get the gospel to spread to the end of the earth. I'm sending you. And that's the adventure we're going to witness this term. We're going to study the book of Acts in three chunks over the coming years, next couple of years. We're going to look at chunk number one together this term, chapters 1 to 6, block 1. And we're going to witness the beginning of this amazing adventure. I love the book of Acts. It's so exciting. But before we begin this journey and we go into the texts more thoroughly, today's talk is like an introduction to what's to come, to kind of whet your appetites, to help you see how these stories, these historical events, can help us and bless us as individuals and as the community of faith here in Crowborough. But today, before we begin, I want us to get our bearings. I want us to kind of get a sense of where we are. Two questions we're going to try and answer together this morning. Here are the questions. Is that right? Why was it written? And what sort of impact should it have, the book of Acts? Why was it written? And what sort of impact should it have upon us? So first question, why was it written? What was Luke's purpose? Now, we don't know a lot about Luke, the man. This man, all we know, is a Gentile. Some think he was a doctor. He traveled, it seems, as a partner with Paul. He wrote Acts before, kind of like Luke Acts, sometime before AD 65. Even though we don't know much about him, we know why he wrote it. We know why he wrote these two books, because Luke and Acts go together. They are a two-volume work. Did you spot how in Acts chapter 1, have a look at it, how Luke refers to his former book in verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. That's what Luke wrote about in the book of Luke. The book of Luke is all about who Jesus is and what he taught and what he did, his saving work. And I presume because Luke is about what Jesus began to do and teach, we get to the book of Acts and we should think, well, this is what Jesus will continue to do and to teach through his disciples and his people, through his word by the Spirit. That's what's going to happen. These two books, part one, the book of Luke, the earthly life and ministry of Jesus. A book two, the ongoing work of the risen Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit by his words. And so in the book of Acts, we're going to see this spread of the word of God as it's preached in the power of the Spirit, and the gospel spreads as people are saved and churches are planted and grow and are established and multiply. And why did Luke write that? Why does Luke write these two books for us? Well, I take it that actually the purpose that Luke gives in Luke chapter 1, verse 4, is the same purpose for both books. He's writing to Theophilus. His name is mentioned in both passages at the start. And Luke 1, verse 4 says the reason he's written these things is to give certainty to Theophilus, his buddy, of the things you've been taught. Certainty. That's the big idea. Certainty. Confidence. Assured. About the things you've been taught about Jesus. And actually, if you look at the book of Acts, it's going to give us confidence and certainty too. Now, I don't know about you, but I need encouragement as a Christian. I need encouragement. I need encouragement that what I believe is true. Certainty. There's a constant reminder we need, isn't there, in a world that is skeptical, that rejects Christ, that writes the Bible off as a bunch of myths and fairy tales, that thinks Christians are a bit off-hinged and a bit unusual. We need confidence, certainty, and encouragement. I know for some people, since following Christ, life has got much tougher. It's been more costly. And actually, maybe we think, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? It's just so hard to be different. It's so hard to follow Jesus. My life is quite hard. And what I need to have is certainty that what I've trusted my life in, this person, Jesus Christ, and his work on the cross for me, and all he's done for me, actually what I need to know is it's true, so I can keep believing it and living it and allowing it to change my life and keep me for glory. Certainty. You see, that's what Luke wants for his friend Theophilus in both of these books. He wants him to be certain about the stuff that God has been teaching him, certain about fulfillment and God's purposes and God's plan. And that's the impact it should have on us as God's people here at All Saints Crowborough. Three areas of certainty to focus in on this morning. And the first is this. certainty about the gospel events. I guess you've seen this before, but I just love the way that Luke begins his gospel. It's amazing, isn't it? Have you looked at it? Luke 1, verse 1 to 4, there it is. Just look at the process by which Luke has gone to, the pains he's gone to get this evidence together, to give certainty. Verse 2, where did he get information from? From eyewitnesses and servants of the word. This gospel is not made up. It's not received by a vision on his own in the middle of a cave in the middle of nowhere. No, this is received by eyewitnesses. They saw Jesus. They heard Jesus. They've passed the truth down. And then what does he do, verse 3? Does he just kind of like throw it together? No, he carefully investigates it. And he creates it into an orderly account, verse 3. Eyewitnesses, carefully investigated, an orderly account. Don't think this is fantasy or make-believe. This is researched evidence, historical. We can trust it, have certainty about the truth. The certainty about the truth of the Lord Jesus, who died and rose again and reigns on high in glory. I love the way that Acts talks about in verse 3. Have a look at that. Takes it back to evidence again. After his suffering, Acts 1 verse 3, after suffering, that's Jesus, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. He gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He wasn't just one person. One testimony, many people saw Jesus alive again over 40 days. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves who he is. And that what he says is true. Convincing proofs. Do you see the way that Luke starts his gospel and the way he begins Acts? He wants us to see that actually we can have certainty about the gospel events that save us. People love to make us doubt Jesus. But we can be people of certainty and confidence in the truth of Jesus Christ. It is wonderful. It is heartwarming. It was foretold. It is fulfilled. It's based on facts to give us certainty. Friends, will you be confident as a Christian because of the facts? It also wants us to have certainty about the gospel command. The command that comes from this historical facts of the truth of Jesus Christ means that it must be preached and proclaimed to all nations. So look at Luke 24, the end of his gospel, verse 47. What is the message that must be preached? And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. That's going to happen, and that's the plan. All nations. This message of Christ crucified, of our sin, our need to repent and find forgiveness and grace in Jesus Christ needs to be proclaimed. Acts 1 verse 8, again, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's to be preached to all nations. That's the scope. Jesus says, disciples, lift your eyes from your backyard to the farthest reaches of the earth. And that's what we'll see beginning to be fulfilled in this book. In this book, we see the gospel spread from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. By the end of the book, we get the end of Acts, we get to Rome. Do you remember during the book of Acts, we meet an Ethiopian guy who gets saved and he takes the gospel back to Africa, we believe, to Ethiopia. We see this gospel spread begin to happen, and it continues now through us. Will we see this book and this command, this gospel command for the gospel to go to all nations, and we'll see that happening, beginning to happen in this book as it goes through social and geographic boundaries. Just think of a triathlon. Exhausted, never done it, never want to do it. Swimming for 1,500 meters, cycling for 40 kilometers, that's a long way, running then for another 21 kilometers, all in one day. Can you imagine the agony of that, the pain? A mammoth task. And yet we've seen the Brownlee brothers do it time and time again. They do it with Olympic success and world success. They kind of push through all these barriers and boundaries and they finish the race. They push through an exhausting swim. Boom. They push through a long, long cycle road. Boom, another boundary. They push through 21K running. Boom, and they go across the race and they finish the race through all these boundaries. Well, Jesus says there are boundaries to push through with the gospel. The gospel command that will push you different boundaries, and we see it in this gospel book, the book of Acts. Jerusalem and Judea, the gospel goes through from them, boom, out. To Samaria, boom, out. To the rest of the world. And we're still part of that now. Part of that direction of travel and journey that the gospel might go out from us to Crowborough and around the world. Do you know what the great news is? That the gospel actually got to Wales. Hallelujah. It even got to England, to Crowborough. And here we are, the evidence of that. And the baton is passed on to every successive generation of Christians to witness to the certain gospel that saves, which all people need. Also, it's a place where you can discover Jesus and discover life, isn't it? That's God's heart and purpose for this town, for our neighbours, our friends, our families, for this country, for this whole world. And you see, just as the plan and purpose of Luke 24:46 was fulfilled, that Christ died and rose again, so Luke 24:47 will be fulfilled. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Both are part of God's purpose, and we must not be satisfied with just our salvation and our backyards. We need to commit ourselves as a church afresh to proclaiming the gospel, to broadcasting as widely as we can. God loved the world. Do we have a heart for the world? The people who've not yet heard, on our streets, in our work, in the world, the nations who have no opportunity of hearing the name of Jesus Christ. And there are many people groups who have never heard of Jesus. And they need his salvation and his love. I guess the question is, how will they, how will we ever be able to be involved in that? How will we be able to share this gospel? We're so weak, aren't we? Kind of feel weak in the face of it all. Or we should be certain about the gospel power. That's what we see Jesus promising in Luke 24:49. Disciples will be his witnesses, and the power for that will come through the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, the promise, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses. It's power for witness. And Luke begins Acts in the way that he ends Luke, reminding the apostles then and us now that we cannot do this without the power of the Holy Spirit. Without the Lord's help, without his work in our hearts and lives. And brothers and sisters, friends, this morning, if you trust in Christ, the Spirit came into your life. He empowers you. And he wants to empower you to live for him and to witness for him. And we'll see that happening. Peter, he was the guy who denied Jesus. He's so scared of a girl by a fireside. He denied 3 times he ever knew Jesus. But the Holy Spirit comes, and he's standing in front of this huge crowd proclaiming repentance and faith. That is the power of the Spirit. There's Stephen, who will not deny Christ, and he's stoned to death. And he preaches the most glorious sermon. How does he do that? Well, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. We all feel so frail and small, but God can and will use us to glorify himself by bringing other people to trust him as we share the gospel. It's not about having the gift of the gab. It's about having God in me. If we know Christ, we have God in us by his Spirit. I wonder, do we show enough confidence in the Spirit to step out and speak? I think we're going to find that people are more ready to listen than we are to speak. You see, what we believe must find its way onto our lips. We must not be silent. And God has empowered us by his Spirit to do that. Acts was written to give us certainty about gospel events, about the gospel command, about the gospel power that is here today for us. So why is Acts going to be good for us? What will it do for us as we look at it together? Well, it's going to strengthen faith. If it's designed to give certainty, it's going to strengthen your faith. Are you feeling weak in faith today? Well, dwell deeply on the works of God in Acts. It's amazing what he does. It's written to give certainty. Pray, Lord Jesus, strengthen my faith in you through your word. And he will. It'll strengthen your faith in God and his power and his purpose and his plan, his provision. Acts will also weaken your pride. Maybe this morning you're the other end of the scale. You don't feel weak, you feel mighty and competent and able. Well, the reality is the task of witnessing to Christ takes humility. The apostles received the Holy Spirit. He comes into us too when we're converted. And actually what we need to do is to cry out to God that by His Spirit, even though we might think we're competent, actually we need the Lord to be at work. We need to be praying, Father, come by Your Spirit and be at work in me and through me for witness for the spread of the gospel. We can't do this task on our own. If you feel overwhelmed, that's a good place to be. Makes you pray, Lord Jesus, come by Your Spirit and give me the guts and the words to speak and help me to trust You. I might not have all the answers, but I can speak about Jesus, what He means to me, and that will be used by the Lord. I might not have all the answers, but I can pray for world mission. I might not have all the answers, but I can send money to support those who are serving on the mission field. And thirdly, Acts will widen our vision. We are all so parochial, aren't we? We think naturally about our own backyard. But Acts will help us to see God's heart for the world, that all nations will have the opportunity to hear of Jesus and be saved by Him. It's our verse for the month, isn't it? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him, whoever, anyone, whatever your background, your nationality, your religion, whoever believes in Him will be saved. See, naturally, Steve Reese is consumed with his backyard. And actually, we can easily think like that. And actually, we can be in danger of thinking that actually world mission is a hobby for some keenies. But Jesus wants us all to have a prayerful vision for all nations. Let's get involved in praying and giving. And we pray, some of us, going. Going. Next weekend is our World Mission Sunday. We meet at 10:30 next Sunday. We'll hear more about that. I wonder, do you remember last year, our World Mission Sunday? George Furwer came and he preached with a massive globe and he had this amazing jacket on and he gave it to me. Do you remember this jacket? Here it is. I'm going to model it for you right now. As someone told me, he's got hundreds of these. He didn't feel quite so special when he gave it to me. But look at this. This is the world. England is under my armpit and that's my consumed. I'm consumed with that. Great Britain. But God loves the whole world. Look at it. The whole world. All the world. And He wants us to go into all nations. We'll do it in different ways. Through prayer, through giving, by going. That all might have the opportunity to hear of Jesus and be saved. Let's pray. We'll be encouraged and emboldened that this term. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we confess that often all we're worried about is our own backyard. And we're sorry for that, Lord. And we pray that You would give us real certainty in the gospel, in its truth, and the command to take it to all nations, on the power that's available by Your Spirit to do that. We feel so weak, but You're mighty and You can do it, Lord. We see You doing it in Acts. And we ask, Father God, through this series in Acts, You'd open our eyes and encourage our hearts and open our mouths and our pockets to Your work in the world. Thank You for saving us. If we're Yours today, give us a vision, we pray, for the growth of Your kingdom, and that we can be part of that. In Jesus' name, amen.